Let's start with prayer. Dear Father, we're here this morning, Lord. We just come before you and we want to bow before you and just let you know you are our King. Like the song said, how great is our God. It's awesome, the things that you do for us that so many times we overlook and forget. We just thank you, Lord. Lord, as we get ready to read from your word, we just ask that you would minister to us. Send your Holy Spirit and just touch each and every one of us here and just let us receive what you have for us so we can live an easier life here and know that where we're going in the future will be great. But right now it's for here, Lord. Sometimes things get hard as we're here and we forget to come to you. It seems like we try everything first before we come to you in prayer, which is where we should really be starting. So this morning, our service, we start with you. Just minister to us. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk about Jesus this morning, but then we usually talk about Jesus, but I really want to talk about Jesus this morning. I want to read out of John chapter 1, verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. And I'm not quite sure why the writer chose to use the title Word for Jesus right there, but it's very obvious that is who he was talking about. And I even looked in some commentaries, and you know, people have different opinions why, but we won't even go there. But when he's talking about the Word, he's talking about Jesus. And like it says, he was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. So when we talk about Jesus, and you know, people will say, oh, who is Jesus? And you know, yeah, we believe that he was a good person and all that, and you know, he might have been a good prophet, and but we really don't believe that he was the Son of God. And you know, you start really getting into it, and people start shutting down real quick. And especially in this day and age where it seems like you can talk about any religion, but as soon as you bring Jesus in the picture, you know, the red flags go up and people start jumping up and down. They don't want to hear about it. It's kind of sad. Because he's really not forcing us or making us do anything that we don't want to do. You know, he's not trying to force himself on anybody or anything like that. But we do have to understand who he truly is. And that's why I want to read some more from the same chapter. So far we know that you know Jesus actually created all this stuff. He's actually the creator. And you're like, well, wait a minute, God's the creator. And I'll explain that a little further, a little more in detail a little further down. But, yes, Jesus is the one that created everything. So let's go on. It says, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. In other words, he's winning. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Well, the Bible always talks about light and darkness. And light's good, dark's bad, basically. It's an easy way to talk about it. And you know, that's why the Bible does it. So Jesus is the light. Jesus is it, basically. And he came to this earth to bring us that light, to bring us goodness, to bring us grace. He came to this earth to do all that. But the majority of the world rejected him. They rejected him then when he was here in person, and they still reject him today. People, you know, the majority of the people don't want any part of him. It says, you know, verse 10, I'll read it again. He says, it says, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. I don't know. Sometimes I think it's easier for us to believe in Jesus than it would have been in the old days. Because when you got some guy walking around claiming to be God, that'd be really hard to swallow. I mean, if I start walking around here, you know, I'm God. I'm the Son of Man. That would kind of make you wonder. And then there's so much trickery and stuff going on. So, you know, you start seeing the healings and stuff. Hey, turn on the TV sometimes. Some of the so-called Christian channels and watch the healings and stuff. Yes, there are true healings. I firmly believe that God is in the healing business even today. But there's a whole bunch of trickery and fake. So, you know, back then when Jesus was doing the healing, I'm sure there was a lot of skeptics going, you know what, I ain't sure I'm buying into all this. But, you know, some of the miracles he did are kind of hard to contest. You know, when you raise people from the dead and the blind see, I would say that should convince you. But we have all this history to look back on. You know, we have the Old Testament, then we have the New Testament. We can look at all this and put it in context, and I think it actually makes it easier now than it would have been back then. But that's kind of a bunny trail. So let's go on. It says, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Even back then, there were Christians. Anybody that received Jesus back then became a child of God. And even so, the world turned its back on him. The ones that didn't, he didn't kick to the side. He's like, hey, I am here for you. That's what he did. And it goes on. It says, children born not of natural descent nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. In other words, it's not something that you can make happen. You can't be born again on your own. It's something God has to do. God makes the change in you. And when you become a child of God, I firmly believe that you will know it. Now, I know when I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, back in those days, I was real heavy into drinking and partying and that kind of stuff. I was never into drugs or any of that, but, boy, I sure liked my alcohol. And, you know, partying was the lifestyle. You went to work. When you got off work, you went to the beer store. Then you went home. Then you went to the beer, had some more, you know, and that's just the way it worked. And on a Thursday night, me and my wife received Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So on Friday night, it's time to go to the bar, of course, and let everybody know what you did. And so on Friday night, we go out drinking. And we had a couple of beers, and they just didn't taste right to me for some reason. And my wife's the same way. She's like, man, I don't know, maybe just because nobody's here. Let's go to this other bar we go to. So we went to another bar and tried a couple of drinks. And I just could not make the beer taste right to me. Jesus just said it was time to quit drinking. Now, I'm not sitting here saying you can't have a beer. I will never say that because there's nowhere in Scripture that says you can't drink. But it does say not to be a drunk. And that's kind of the direction where I was at. But he just took it away from me. Now, there was no withdrawals. There was just no desire to drink. It was just gone. And I have not had a drink since that day. It just left. That's what I'm talking about. When you become a child of God, things happen that you don't initiate. You have to allow them to happen, because I'm quite sure I could have fought it and forced a few more drinks down. And, you know, one thing about God, he's a gentleman. And when he wants you to do something, he will really push and try to get you to do it. But in the end, he says, okay, you don't want to? That's just fine. Go right ahead. The sad thing is, when we do that, we reap the consequences, too. And there's always consequences to everything that we do. Like we were, you know, joking around with the speeding, you know, hey, if you speed, you're going to get a ticket. That's just the way it is. That's the consequences of speeding. You know, it's just how it goes. And my insurance company knows that. So that's not good. One of my weaknesses, sorry. But let's go on here. It says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. That's just awesome. He came, lived here with us. He brought us grace and truth. The one thing awesome about Jesus living amongst us, he's not a God that's sitting in heaven going, well, they're not feeling good today, but, you know, that's all right. It can't be all that bad. He 100% understands everything that we go through because he has been here and experienced it. Now, being the all-knowing God, I don't know that he really needed to do that, but he chose to come here anyway and live here for 30-some years to fully experience and then some, because most of us aren't going to be crucified, but hopefully none of us. You never know if you read the papers, but none of us are going to be crucified, so he actually went through a lot more than we ever will. But he can fully understand everything that we'll ever go through. Now it says, out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given, which they're talking about the law that was given to Moses. It says, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. See, if you read the Old Testament and you open up the pages where it talks about the Mosaic law and all the stuff that it talks about, it could just scare you to death. If you had to do all those things and live by all those things, it's like, I couldn't remember 25% of it, let alone all of it, and then trying to do all that. So why did God give us the law like that? I mean, why is all that? And if I can't do it, what's the point? Well, it's still God's heart. His heart has not changed. He still is the same God that gave that law as the God that we serve today. But all it's doing is pointing out that we can't do it on our own. There's got to be more to it than just us. We can't be better. You know, when we want to, like, the drinking that I was talking about, I probably could have tried to quit I don't know how many times. It probably would have never worked. I used to smoke a pack and a half a day. And I had just never could really lay it down. It just, man, I'd quit. I'd throw them out the window. A couple hours later, you went and bought another pack, and I'd throw them out the window again. And when it was finally time to quit, when I felt it was time to quit, I went forward on altar call in our church. You know, the pastor says, pray for delivery. Nothing specific. This, you know, anybody wants prayer, come forward. So I went forward and said, okay, I want to pray for not smoking. I walked out of the church, and I never smoked again. I'm not saying that happens to everybody, but I mean, I drove around for a week with a carton of cigarette laying in my van. I was tempting myself, you might say. That's kind of stupid, but I did it. And I never had another cigarette. Now, the strange thing about delivery, because I don't want to sit here and say it works every time, on important stuff that has to happen, it's always worked for me. But there's other things I struggle with that I still fall back, and it happens again, and you quit, and you fall. And we all struggle. We will never be sinless. I'm not going to sit here and say that, you know, you're going to walk a perfect life, because you're not, and I'm not either. It just doesn't work that way. But something that we really, from the bottom of our heart, want to do, I believe God can deliver us. And the biggest problem that I see in my life, when I want to quit something that I know I should, but my heart's not really in it, that's when it doesn't work. Because, you know, there's some things that are a lot of fun. I mean, we all know it. And, you know, we do it, and we know we shouldn't, and, okay, God, I'm not going to do that. I really don't want to do that again. Please help me. But then you're already going, I'll do it again later. You know, so we can be delivered if we really want to be. But that's the thing. From the bottom of our heart, we got to want to be. Let's go on. What is grace? You know, we said that the Mosaic law, none of us can keep it. So it really points out the fact that we can't live the way God wants us to live. So he brought us grace, which is unmerited favor of God toward men. It's basically, that's what the way one commentary reads says it, which is perfect. Unmerited favor. Isn't that awesome? There's nothing we have to do to be saved. All we have to do is believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he paid the price for the sins we commit. And if we do that, we are saved. And none of this, I have to do this, and then I have to do that, and then I got to do this. Because if it came down to that, ain't none of us would make it. So I think that's just totally awesome. Now let's go on. I'm kind of jumping ahead of myself here. Verse 18, it says, "No one has ever seen God but the Son and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father has made him known." You remember earlier I was talking about Jesus is God, and we've been saying it several times through this sermon. Jesus is God, as it says it right here in this verse, who is himself God. And in our human mind, we may not totally understand this, but you have God the Father, we have God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three persons, and they are three individual persons, but they are one God. They're of one mind, of one spirit. I mean, they are one. It's a little hard for us to wrap our arms around sometimes, or our mind around, but the Bible teaches it, so we do have to believe it. Now, a friend of mine says, you just look at it like a corporation. I mean, you got, you know, the committee. But I don't think that's quite it, because that's individual people with individual minds that think different. Where with God, there's one thought through all, you know, with all three. So we take it on faith. The Bible teaches it, so we believe it. So what did we learn? Jesus has been forever. Jesus created everything. The world didn't recognize him except for a few. And because of him, we have grace. And I want to read verse 17 out of John 3, 17 and 18. I've been reading a lot of scripture this morning, but the Bible can just say a lot of this stuff a lot better than I can. It says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." I see there's something that we don't think about a lot of times. A lot of people have the idea that God sits up there and he's just waiting to pounce on us. "God, you messed up again. I got you." I mean, that's kind of what we, you know, that's the mindset a lot of us get. But when you read this verse, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." He wants us to be saved. He doesn't want to beat us up. And I think once we go to heaven, we'll probably be surprised at some of the people that are there. But then we may also be surprised at some of them that ain't. But it's putting our faith in him. That's what gets us to heaven, not anything that we do. It doesn't matter what we do. Now, is God going to let us just live however we want? No, he's not going to. You start going the wrong direction, trust me, he will let you know. And like I said there at the beginning, if you say no long enough, he will let you go and do your thing, but you will pay the consequences. Does that make you unsaved? No. If you're truly saved, you're always saved. You will be. Let's read the next verse. It says, "Whoever believes in him is not condemned," just like I just said. "But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." I know the world hates this. They don't like the fact that we say Jesus is the only way. But the Bible, that's what the Bible says. And that's what I believe. And if they choose to not believe it, there's nothing I can do about it. And none of us can do about it. But if you look at all the evidence with an open mind, and you really look at it, Lee Strobel is a good example that was an atheist, and he studied the Bible to prove that it was totally flawed and that there was no way that it was right, and the only thing he ended up doing is convincing himself that Jesus is real, and now he's a Christian. So if we really look at it and examine it for what it is, we'll come to that conclusion. So how can we be uncondemned? We believe in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. That's all we got to do. And with that, I'd like to close. Dear Lord, we thank you We thank you for everything you do. We thank you for making it so easy for us. Walking the Christian walk is not easy because there are so many things that tempt us, and there's evil in the world and sickness and stuff that we just don't understand at times. But still, when it all boils down to it, it's easy. All we have to do is believe that your Son did it all for us. And because of that, someday we'll be in heaven. But because of that, we have your unmerited favor even here on earth. And life can be easier if we just trust in you. We just thank you so much for that, Lord. Lord, and as we get ready to go racing this morning, Father, I just want to lift every person up to you. I ask that you would just keep everyone safe. Keep us from getting hurt. Lord knows I think all of us have gotten hurt at one time or another. But, Lord, we don't know why we get hurt at times other than we play a crazy game and that's what happens. But, Father, just watch over us and keep us safe. And, Lord, we just do it all for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.